This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Behind last night, 5 minutes to play. I'm like, this game's over. And it wasn't. It was an impressive win last night. But the winner, to me, was Dyson Daniels, Mike. He gets the steal to get the ball down to Caris LeVert, who converts that reverse layup. But without the steal and another Dyson Daniels moment this season, the Hawks don't win that game last night. Memphis had had us by the short and curlies, as you like to say. No Ja Morant, guys, and the Hawks win 132-130. Bottom line is they needed this game. They got to find a way, as we said, to get on a hot streak. And maybe that continues tonight as they'll take on Milwaukee. But, man, what a game last night.
Yeah, we were just talking yesterday about, oh, man, it's kind of feeling like we're in this play-in rut. Now, yeah, Memphis didn't have two of their bigger stars, including Ja Morant. But, hey, that's not a beef. We lost a lot of people with injuries over the years. And, this year, of course, we lose Jalen Johnson and we trade DeAndre Hunter. So, cry me a river for the Grizz. We took care of business in their building. But, yeah, man, this guy Dyson Daniels, if he doesn't get the Defensive Player of the Year, the only thing that will really hurt him, and I heard Steak and Andy and Randy talking about it, is the fact that the Hawks are just bad.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're on a better team, you get the juice. Like the six-man. Six-man's never on a bad team. Six-man's on a good team. So hopefully he can be the Defensive Player of the Year with Wemby knocked out with the injury, with the blood issue. But, man, he's just – how many? You could think, like, literally about a dozen times where he's had a game-changing moment.
No doubt. And he leads the league in steals by a mile. You talk about his impact and all the defensive statistics that matter to the nerds who keep up with this stuff. Hands down, he should be the Defensive Player of the Year. But I'm with you. We'll see how they look at that and whether or not at the end of the year the overall record is going to determine how that looks. As far as last night, man, look, the thing that I keep taking away from this trade, and DeAndre Hunter, we wish him nothing but the best. It looks like they're going to go a long way with Cleveland this year, Mike, and maybe he's a big part of that. But the guys that we got in return, and Niang didn't play last night, are showing you that they can play. Terrence Mann can play. Caris LeVert is showing you. He's got a lot of versatility. He went on a hot streak last night, and really, we don't win this game without him in the fourth quarter. I mean, he was hot. So that's the thing that you look at and you say, okay, you know what? That's something we can continue to build on. If you were to install or insert Jalen Johnson into this mix, all of a sudden this is a different-looking team.
Right.
The bench is deep. Johnson's giving you 20 and 10 every night. You've got another legitimate scorer on the floor. And now, with the bench the way it would be constructed, this would look completely different.
Yeah, last night I conked out. I got a big party weekend, so I was sleeping it off. But this morning I watched the Hawks game, and I was like, wow, look at Reese Hoshea. And the only thing I could think about, you know, maybe give Reese Hoshea even more looks last night because he was feeling it.
Yeah, I agree.
He was the leading all scorers with 27. We talked about Caris LeVert. Casanova with 25 last night. So it's a different LeVert. But you get the idea. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a bitter pill because you just said it. If everybody's healthy – man, you feel good about being a 5 seed or higher. But now we just kind of sort of live in this win one, lose one. Hopefully we can get back to back. Back to back's tough. But Trey, you know, in the last couple of games, Trey's been more facilitator than dominator, and he's going with the flow. And getting Caris had all the shots at the end of the game.
We're going to see what they do tonight. You can't win that big emotional game last night, and it could have gone either way, by the way. Bane had the ball. I thought Desmond Bane was going to win the game for the Memphis Grizzlies last night. I was like, uh-oh, he's about to take it to the rack. They're going to win.
You think the front court is your friend?
And then he gets ripped, and his cookies get taken, and all of a sudden, it's a ball game. Here's Quinn Snyder, coach of the Hawks, talking about Richaché.
I might have even broke a clipboard because he didn't get back on defense a couple times, and he was screwing around trying to guard the ball, and he's got a lot of pride. He's got a lot of pride, and it was good to see him. And I know what a competitor he is, and he's a player. You can coach him hard. He doesn't take anything personally, and happy to see him play with the kind of competitive fire that he did tonight.
It's funny, guys, because we were having this conversation via text last night, and I think O started it by just saying, you know, when you look at the picks around Richaché, that includes Wimby, who is, you know, a transition or a transformative player. Even though he's out right now, we know what he's capable of, and the Spurs are going to be really good down the road. But it's like we get the first overall pick, and it's like, okay, what is this guy going to be? I think he's going to be really good, Mike. Is he going to be a megastar? I don't know, but I think he has the potential to be really good.
Well, I mean, it's early days. I mean, I do think right now he's done more to establish himself than Alexander Saar has. You know, when you think about the big choice we
don't
have.
Even talk about Saar.
No, I mean, like, he's up there in Washington, and I'm not watching I always say Bullets. I had Bullets tickets, but the Wizards, you get the idea. But, yeah, I mean, I think you've had more wow moments from Richaché. Looks like he belongs. And remember, you know, coming from Europe, there's a little bit of an edge over a one-year player in the college game. But I just think, you know, if it's way too early, but imagine if he is that guy that eventually you will say, oh, it really was a great draft pick, and it was a great draft because it's the year after Wemby. It's just not it. Hey, man, this guy looks like a star. And
he does.
And he feels comfortable in his own shoes.
I agree with you. That's the thing. Like, I know people want to immediately jump there and go, well, he's had some really big moments. And I just think, again, he's so young that we got to give it a shot to kind of grow into its own. But last night he shot the ball really well. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Padley. Guys, sell your home fast for cash fast at Padley. That's P-A-D-L-Y buys.com. Let's hear Quinn Snyder talking about LeVert, who hit the game winner.
I can't say enough about what a teammate he's been. You know, if you look at him, benches, huddles, practice, you know, bus, plane, everything, brunch. He's as committed to the group.
Now, I agree with Coach about all the things. These guys came in. They've, you know, acclimated very well. And I think, you know, again, these are good pickups. We'll see what they think after the season is over and how they look at this team. But as far as what you got in return, I think you got some real players that can help you moving forward. Now, the irony is Hawks win last night. And I just bring this up because at the end of the show yesterday, Mike said to me, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? And he said, the Mavericks are raising their ticket prices. And then last night.
Oh, my God.
Kyrie suffers an injury in the first quarter. It's a torn ACL. He's done for the rest of the season. And they're already without Anthony Davis, who came in, looked good in game one, and then got hurt. Mike, you talk about worst-case scenario. And I only bring this up to say, Hawks fans, it's bad for us. Like, we're frustrated that we're not a top-four team in the Eastern Conference and all the things, and Jalen getting hurt. It's not this. It's not what has happened to the Mavericks and that whole Luka situation. Now, Luka may go on to win multiple chips with L.A. when it's all said and done, and we'll wait to see how that plays out. But, man, I would hate to be a Mavericks fan right now.
Man, so they're going to raise ticket prices for a majority of the season ticket holders, 8%. You see Kyrie go out, and then if you didn't see the video, they showed it on SportsCenter, you got basically the mass exodus. It was almost like they planned it. Everybody was sitting low, just got up and left. And that's the world the Mavericks are living in. So I don't know how, and everyone says this would have never happened if Mark Cuban was still running point on this thing. I mean, I don't know. But it's certainly the most despicable thing to do to lose your one of the top five players in the league. You're going to raise prices on me? I mean, I wonder how many folks are going to outright cancel those tickets.
It's going to happen. I mean, like, because here's the deal. You see, with Luka, and it goes beyond whether you thought he was fat, whether you thought he drank too much beer, whether you thought he was or wasn't a leader, he was a box office draw.
Bingo.
And it goes deeper than just all the other stuff. And sometimes, Mike, these general managers and Nico was caught up in this. I think he was just like, okay, the culture and what I'm trying to build here, and it's not working. He's a box office draw. This is why fans come, whether you're winning or losing. And now that's gone. Now Kyrie's gone. Nobody is enamored with Anthony Davis. I don't think they're buying season tickets just to come see AD at this age. Now what do you have? And so that is the issue. And I say that to Hawks fans like, hey, our guy's still here. He's still playing great. Last night he had another good game, and I'm talking about Trae Young. This is the difference between where our franchise is, even though it's not where we want it to be. Like, to be that, how frustrated would we be right now?
And I do think that the NBA players, like, they've earned the right because they got a specific skill set, and they get the best treatment from their commissioner, from the league. I mean, okay, you had a problem with this guy because of his work habits or his off-the-court habits. You got to suck it up. You know, I mean, I think if you're the Mavericks, like, you just got to deal with it. You know? Yeah. Yeah, because you move forward with this plan, and it's a terrible plan.
It's terrible.
And as we spoke last week, I forget the NBA insider we had, I'm talking about, like, if they had a bidding war, it would have gotten weird. Well, I don't know. This wasn't the way to do it either. So I just think if you're a fan, you got a right to say, I'm never coming back to watch you guys. And, you know, I mean, I love this. If you grew up with the Mavs and their history, they won a championship for you. But, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that makes fans. It's like when they traded Neat to the Clippers.
Sure.
And there's still Hawks fans today. They won't forgive the Hawks for that nonsense.
Well, these are the moments that matter. And, you know, you're trying to build your fan base and have your fan base trust you that you're doing the right things. These are the kind of moves that you go, man, the franchise is jacked. You talk about dysfunction, I'm not going to go spend any more money there. So, as Oren said, the irony about this is you had your fan base coming off of a finals run. Now, they weren't going to beat the Celtics last year.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They were a bad defensive team, but the point is they got there. And then, Mike, you come back this season, and it's like, man, we went to the finals last year. All right, we feel like we're a better team. They did make some moves in the offseason to get better shooting around Luka at the time and Kyrie. And now look at this. What a disaster. 404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We got plenty more to dive into today. We got a special guest that's going to be in studio. We're excited about it. If you like Yacht Rock, and we do, the Yacht Rock Review is going to be live in studio. The lead singer, his name is Nick Nespojani. He is going to join us at around 2:40-ish, and he's going to hang out. Mike, we're going to talk about their new world tour. They're going to be in Atlanta. We'll let you know when. Guys, they're selling out all over the place, and more importantly, they're really good. If you've never seen it, you can check it out online. Yeah. They're really good, and he's really good. And we got wind of this through Oren, who's friends with these guys, and we were like, what? I told you I saw that Yacht Rock documentary that was on. I think it was Netflix. And I'm sitting there, you know, for 2 hours, like, just in a daze, kind of like, wow, this is really cool, the history of it. But it's one of those things where, Mike, I think people either love it or they don't. And here's what's funny. A lot of the younger demo, it's skewing to a younger demographic because people are like, this music is cool. Africa is cool.
Right. Toto.
And you know?
We were talking about this, you know, back in the day. I remember seeing these guys at Park Tavern. And Yacht Rock was like, I remember always being, whether it was St. Patrick's Day or whatever the thing was, a big, you know, it was always a great party. And you're like, what a neat little, you know, niche these guys have kind of created. And then this thing has basically gone global. where, you know, they've franchised it. But now this tour with the big boys and opening up for major bands and stuff. So it's kind of neat. So, look, we love music and we love fun music. And Oren is great at the music. He always brings to the show as far as our bumper stuff. So if you dig it, we'll get the lowdown on how this phenomenon kind of just exploded.
That's on the way. Stay tuned for that. When we come back, though, we got to get to the daily download. Some moves around the NFL. It's already happening. Now, a lot of this stuff will not become official. It won't until the first day of the new league year, March 12th. But you're seeing moves being made. What about the Falcons? We'll talk about it next. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great day. I'll tell you who's having a great day, Mike Bell. Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley has just been rewarded with a two-year, $41.2 million contract extension. It makes him the highest-paid running back in NFL history. The deal is going to pay him $20 million plus. For everybody, just a few years ago, said running backs are dead. They're not going to make any money. Here you go. So Saquon becomes your first $20 million running back. And, Mike, it also has incentives that allow him to earn an additional $15 million in escalators. Mm. And it's $36 million fully guaranteed at signing. So the Eagles rewarding Saquon Barkley for the 2,000-yard season, obviously helping them win a Super Bowl. And all of a sudden it went from he's washed, he can't play, to Mike, now he's the highest paid guy at his position.
Yeah, man, the Giants just like a monkey's uncle, man. I mean, Shane, that whole crew, man, we talked about Daboll. And the only way you would have helped a Daniel Jones if anything was going to go his way is by having Saquon Barkley. And good for Saquon, man. Because to be, you like, what did Sally Field say when she won the Oscar? You like me. You really like me. I mean, they appreciate it, the effort. What this guy meant to this team, it goes without saying. And not only do they, they step up. Somebody would say maybe they overpaid a little bit, but hey, you got the results. You've got the piece, the linchpin in your offense. Makes Jalen Hurts better. Makes everyone else better. I mean, it will be interesting. I'm curious to see how, though, Howie Roseman handles the defense. You see Howie Roseman's comments today?
No, what'd he say?
I was going to save it for Guy Talk, but I'll mention it right now. He was basically asked, whether it was an interview on the radio or a podcast, he was asked about comparing and contrasting the two Super Bowls that the Eagles won. He said it's like having sex. The first time, you're just really excited that it's happening. And he said the second time, you know, you win it, you really know what you're doing. And you really get to lay back and enjoy it. When, I don't think that was controversial. I thought it was kind of a pretty interesting metaphor or euphemism.
I love the analogy. I do. I think he's right. You get so caught up in the fact that you're there. The second time around, it's like, been here. Okay. Take your time.
Now, granted, when you're having total dominance over the Chiefs, you can really sit back and enjoy it a lot more as well that second time around.
No doubt, man. So congratulations to Saquon. Meanwhile, as we're talking about all the stuff that's going on around the NFL, we got a lot of stuff to lay out here. Let's get to the daily download. Daily downloads brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Jets are saving $29.9 million in salary cap. They are releasing Davante Adams. He had no more guaranteed money on his deal. So that is big news today. And now it's like, okay, where is he going to go? Is he going to follow Aaron? Wait till Aaron lands?
Maybe stop on that thought and maybe just do your own thing. Maybe go play somewhere else without Aaron Rodgers. Because where is Aaron going to land on the monopoly board of the NFL?
Don't know. I have no idea. And some people said, why don't you just go back to Green Bay? They need help at wide receiver. You got a young quarterback in Jordan Love. It makes sense. I don't know, Mike, but the Jets are moving on. This is the new regime, right? Muji, the new general manager, is like, look, we're moving on from Aaron. All these guys that came because of Aaron, we don't need them either.
Guy on the text line was saying, what about the Raiders? Well, that was a weird vibe. He didn't want to be there after they moved on from his boy, Derek Carr.
Yep.
But, yeah, now if it's a Shador Sanders, I mean, look, there's a million plays. Davante Adams, I mean, he's got stuff left in the tank. This guy makes plays. It was a very strange. Nothing worked for the Jets. Even when he was making plays, they were still finding ways to lose games.
So, meanwhile, around the NFL, the Cowboys, and this is what we have to do, guys, and we keep waiting. There will be news soon enough, but the Cowboys have restructured Pro Bowl wide receiver CeeDee Lamb. They just created $20 million worth of cap space. This is what we've been saying about the Falcons. You can create the cap space if you want to do it. It's just a matter of how you want to go about it. So in the meantime, Mike, they also re-signed their big defensive tackle. His name is Osa Digazuwa.
Yeah, big money, big contract.
$80 million, 4 years. This guy had 60 quarterback pressures, second most in the NFL behind one other defensive tackle in the league. You talk about getting after it in the interior. This is what we've been talking about with our guys. This guy's a difference maker, and the Cowboys know that, and you put him with Micah Parsons and Lawrence and all those guys. you got to keep him. So they did.
He's a monster of a dude. He's a third-round pick. Let's hope that, you know, we get that same kind of traction. If Rook becomes that guy for the Falcons, if Rook becomes that dude for us, then okay. Then we start to look differently about how Fontenot has handled his drafts and his, you know, and addressing the defense. But that was one, everyone was focused on Micah Parsons, but that was a big piece for Big D.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to give Micah his money right now. They say they've started negotiations, but Mike, they can wait. There's no reason to rush. They got to figure out where they're going in the draft. But
why outbid yourself now?
Correct. I don't think you have to do that. Micah Parsons is going to make $25 million, I think. This is the fifth-year option for him, being where he was picked. And so there's no rush to get that done, but they say they have started talks. Other news around the NFL, and this was big. Sam Darnold, Mike, is going to hit the free agent market. So the Vikings make the decision to not franchise tag him. And let's talk about this for a second, because everybody's like, well, this is the smart play. They have a bunch of needs. They have, you know, position needs across the board, offensive, defensive line, safety, running back. And they're like, we can't invest $40 million in Sam Darnold. So they are moving on, and they are going to allow him to hit the market. My question is, what is going to be his market value? Is he going? Because I think $30 million, he'll play for a team somewhere. I don't know if anybody's going to give him $40 million like the franchise tag.
Yeah, and you look at the squads that need a quarterback. I mean, I don't think the Browns, would the Browns entertain that if they decide to go somewhere else? They take Travis Hunter? You know, I mean, and do you, would that be a play there? Would you think maybe the Raiders would look at him? Now, what does Brady think of Sam Darnold? You and I talked about it yesterday. Most, you know, clutch quarterback of all time, who's got a big voice now in that organization, looking at a guy who had great regular season numbers, but with the biggest games we talked about yesterday, biggest games of the year, playing the Lions to win the division, he stunk. Playing the Rams in that division, absolutely horrible, one of his worst games as a pro.
Sure.
Looked as bad as he was as a rookie with the Jets. So where what is the Sam Darnold? What is he? So I'm curious now. The next step is to see what the 49ers do with Brock Purdy. Because, you know, that guy, the numbers are so average. When you and I know you never, you've always been kind of lukewarm on Brock Purdy.
I have.
But it is going to be interesting to see if J.J. McCarthy now, you know, are they going to invest a little more heavily in the run game for Minnesota? Takes the pressure off J.J. McCarthy. Either way, they got a good defense. We know that.
They're going to pay him, Mike. I just don't know if it's the right move. They're going to pay him the market value. It's going to happen. All of this stuff they're doing, and by the way, they might trade Ayuk.
Right.
They're trying to get some money freed, and they realize that this is not the formula to have two $20 million wide receivers. Shanahan's smarter than that.
Right.
His dad won in a different way. He understands, you know what, I can find running backs, and I also can go find wide receivers. I can't do this, and I got to have a guy that I can win with at quarterback. So they're going to pay him, but I don't know necessarily if I would. And that going rate, guys, we said, if they franchise tag him, which they're not, it's $40 million. If they give him a long-term deal, Mike, Brock Purdy's going to get $50 million.
Now, when I say Aaron Jones with the Vikings in the run game, his production kind of took tailed off at the end of the season. That's why I think maybe upgrade that position as well. Yeah. Also, granted, once you're down by three scores against the Rams, you can't run the ball in that playoff game. But still, his numbers, you look at it game by game, wasn't that great?
And here's the thing about Sam Darnold. You said you don't know what he is, and I get it. In the big games, he didn't show up. He's 27. If we had a quarterback that was 27 and threw for 4,300 yards and 35 touchdowns, we'd be screaming to keep him. So that is why I think this is an interesting decision. But I will say this. You know, you go back over the last two seasons prior to this year with Minnesota, Mike, he only played seven games. Over the last two seasons, he only played seven games. And then this year, boom, you win 14 games with Minnesota.
Right. I know the irony would be, I wonder if the Jets felt they could go back, could bring him back to New York, different coaching staff.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's Aaron Glenn and his guys. That seems like a bit much. We mentioned Cleveland, the Raiders, the Giants. Would you buy into him as an insurance policy for Anthony Richardson, since he's not doing what he needs to be doing in Indianapolis?
Interesting.
I mean, now, the money's got to be right.
Yeah.
But what about the Steelers for Sam Darnold?
I don't know what they think about him. Look, I'm with you. Again, 27.
Right.
I think Justin's 25. You know, we keep talking about the age of these guys and why Justin's appealing to a lot of teams because he's still got, you know, 10 years of prime playing ability. Darnold's in a similar possibility. He's in a similar situation.
Right. I don't know if you think we're making too much out of the playoffs, but I mean, how else do you – you got everyone knows he's got to have a contract year. What are they going to do big picture? And then any chance – to maybe convince Minnesota you're the guy and just let J.J. McCarthy cool his... See, that's the thing. You've got a guy. You've got the insurance policy in J.J. McCarthy. He was looking great last preseason before he got injured. So it makes it a little bit easier to move on from a guy who crapped the bed in the big moments.
Yeah, and McCarthy's in his rookie deal. So it makes it a lot easier. Yeah. 404-726-0929. We're just going down the list of things that are kind of going down around the league right now. And we said this. all of this stuff is playing out before the new league year. So even the Barkley, Saquon Barkley deal, it's being announced, but all of that stuff won't become official until after the 12th. But Mike, that is big news as far as the running backs. Now, one of our listeners just hit us up and said the Seahawks have released defensive tackle Roy Robertson. Fellas, would we be interested in any of these guys? They released a few guys, George Fant, DeMondre, Jermonta Jones, a few guys on their defensive side of the football. First, I got to do some research on why they're letting these guys go. Because a lot of times, if it's just a salary dump, that's one thing. Can they play?
Well, if you're looking at Roy Robertson-Harris, first off, he's hyphenated. He did miss a bunch of games. And if you're looking for production, it's difficult to gauge because, again, he's in the interior of the line. Mm-hmm. But 8 seasons, he's 31. He'll be 32 in July.
We got that here.
Yeah, I've had enough of that type of player here the last 5 years.
We've got 30-year-old plus guys on our defensive front. We need to get, again, younger, more athletic, and deeper. That's where we're at. So, and by the way, more impactful, right? That's what we're talking about. It's not as if, again, I'm not telling you Grady can't play. Mm-hmm. He can, but we got that already. I don't necessarily need that as we continue to build towards the future. And you say, well, we just need to go get a guy who can play on the interior defensive line. Well, we got that. I'm looking to maybe, Mike, upgrade and, more importantly, try to get some youth in there, man.
And we'd be his third team in 2 years. He was traded by Jacksonville to Seattle.
Okay. All right, so again, I know some of you are hitting us up and saying, yo, what about these guys? But that's part of this.
But that's just more, I mean, honestly, guys, that's just, as Carl just pointed out, that's more of what we've had.
Yeah.
Just a lot of meh on that defensive tackle rotation.
It's interesting, though, you're seeing a lot of teams just make moves like this one. Jonah Jackson is going to the Bears, Mike, and the Bears are picking up his entire salary. Hello, Kirk Cousins. $17.5 million. Rams don't retain any of his salary. It's a salary dump. They're not saying that they don't need him or they don't want, but hey, you know what? We got to save money. You know why they need to save money? Because they're about to pay Matthew Stafford.
Right.
So they got to find some money somewhere, and this is part of it. So they trade him to the Bears, and they pick up the entire salary.
Now, if you could have the money, see, we don't have all the coin, guys. We said it. We can basically do one big ticket free agent. I'd love to talk to Jonathan Allen, who the Commanders are letting him shop around. That's an upgrade over anything we've got to de-tackle, but I don't think we can afford that and do the other things.
All right, guys, coming up, a little fun on the show. As we always do. Yacht Rock Review is going to be live in studio. Nick Nespajani is his name. He's the lead singer. He's about to join us. We're going to talk about this whole journey that they've been on and how this is going. It's incredible. If you have not heard or don't have any idea, stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We like to have fun, man. We love music. Mike said it. Nick Nespajani, should I say, is in studio with us. He is the lead singer for the Yacht Rock Review. They are going on tour again. And Nick, first of all, thank you for being here. Actually, he's got a surprise for us, which is going to happen here in about 15 minutes, so stay tuned for that. But, man, this is – Mike and I were just saying, you walked in, you got a cool vibe, you got a Yacht Rock vibe to you, you just – you know, you're hanging out. Congratulations on all the success, man, and just tell us how this journey started for you guys, man, because it goes back to, what, 2007, 8?
Atlanta's own Yacht Rock Review. That's who we are, Atlanta's own. Yeah, we started back at the 10 High below the Dark Horse, playing in the basement. We did like 4 years putting in our time down there. And Atlanta came out and built us up to what we are now. You know, it's been a 17-year rocket ride to the middle.
But I mean, you know, everybody, I play in a cover band on the South Side, but I mean, you take, it's not a cover band thing. It's a phenomenon. You guys have built this thing. I mentioned to you before you came on, seeing you guys play like at the Park Tavern. You know, it was just, it was all, the energy was always there. And now the idea, would you ever imagine that you'd be the headliner, you know, like playing major venues around the country?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't set out to do this, right? Like, this is an accident. Yeah. I mean, not that we didn't, we saw that it could be something and we took advantage, but so many people put together a cover band and say, all right, this is what we're doing now. This is the direction we're going in. And us, we were like, oh, I guess this is what we're doing, I guess, you know? So it's kind of a different trajectory, but I think that, you know, we always took the music seriously, but didn't take ourselves seriously.
Right.
And I think that combination is what connects.
How much practice are we talking about, man? Because you guys play it all. Like, it's not...
Yeah, the catalog you got to know, right?
It's not one artist, right? It's not one style, even though everybody thinks that, you know, it all falls into this one thing. I mean, there's jazz, there's rock, there's R&B. Like, how much practice are we talking about here?
I mean, most of the practice are the shows. You know, we do 90-100 shows a year, so you get a lot of reps in doing that. But we just did 3 days of practice last week. We've got another week of practice coming up after spring break. So
are those sessions intense?
I mean, it's like taking the – do you remember taking the SAT test?
Yes, yes.
It's like that same kind of thing where you stood in one place all day, but at the end you're just exhausted because your brain is wiped out because you're putting together a bunch of new songs, new arrangements, trying new things. It's very mentally exhausting.
It is Nick Nespajani, guys. He is from Yacht Rock Review coming to Atlanta. We'll tell you about the dates and stuff that are going to be here in the spring. The as we said, the wide variety of music and the wide variety of audience. It's one thing if it was like just, you know, 50-somethings. I'm always blown away by the younger demographics that are into the scene of the shows.
Cool with the parents, cool with the friends. That's how we like to roll, you know.
What's your favorite? I mean, if you could pick one, is there one artist you enjoy performing the most?
Man, I gotta say, I love singing the Kenny Loggins songs because they're so difficult to sing.
Really?
Yeah. His vocal range and the number of different like kind of styles he'll do within the course of one song is very challenging. I love that challenge.
You guys opened for Kenny, right?
We did, and we could not play any Kenny Loggins songs.
Right. You can't do an opening up for the dude.
We were opening for Kenny Loggins.
How cool was he, though? Was he cool?
He was a bro, man. I mean, the first night, he rolled up in his black SUV, got out, and the first thing he did was come find us and shake all of our hands and say, hey, I'm really happy to have you guys on this tour. You know, and he didn't have to do that. He's Kenny Loggins.
Mm, right.
But, man, he was super cool. And the thing I loved about him that is inspiring to me is that every day in soundcheck, he would be taking it seriously. He was not just, like, going through the motions. He was putting his guys through the paces.
Even now.
Going over the harmonies. Wow. On his final tour, he was into the details in the way that great athletes and great coaches at the end of their career still have that mentality of everything is important all the time. Like he's on it.
And that's
he's
great. Amazing. And not mailing it in. That's one thing that drives you crazy. I've seen some shows. One thing's kind of cool, seeing some Heritage acts. I saw Boz Scaggs a couple of years ago. Same thing. Bringing the heat, you know, not mailing it in, and the crowd went bananas. It's Nick Nespajani, guys, from Yacht Rock Review, live in studio with us. The documentary that came out on HBO and HBO Max, you got a couple of cameos in that. Were you surprised how certain members of Steely Dan were kind of lukewarm on the whole being lumped? I guess they felt they were lumped into the Yacht Rock phenomenon?
Oh, they're not the only ones. I mean, Michael McDonald used to be pretty hot and cold with the term Yacht Rock. He wasn't really into it. But I think as it's developed over the years, when we started, the term was a little bit comedic, maybe a little ironic. People weren't sure, you know, artists weren't sure, are they making fun of us?
Is it a parody? Right.
Or are they cool with us? And now they understand, you know, except for Donald Fagen.
Who basically said blank off.
He still doesn't understand.
That's so funny.
But if you know anything about Donald Fagen, that's pretty consistent with how that guy is all the time.
There is there's a scene in the doc where they call him.
Right.
On the phone, man. And they're literally like, hey, we're doing this documentary on Yacht Rock, and there's a silence, and then they're like, blank off, dude, and he hangs up, and it's like the fun, because the guys start laughing about it. Speaking of that doc, you talk about Michael McDonald, that's the first guy I think of, just because of the familiarity with the voice, the hit songs, right, during that time period. But I don't know how people, and I didn't know how big Toto was until when it comes to this particular genre, right? How big they were in the songwriting aspect of things. They had a few hits, but man, their tentacles go all over the place, doesn't it?
Oh man, they were the band on the big Boz Scaggs record.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing on the Christopher Cross records. They were, you know, playing on, some of the guys were playing on some of the Steely Dan records. I mean, they were the band on Thriller, basically.
Yeah.
Like, they were an incredible group of session musicians. And that's how all these Yacht Rock guys were. They were all super serious about their craft. They took the music very seriously, which is the aspect of it that we try to carry on.
Quincy Jones, to your point, they document this, but they were like, yeah, we got a call from Quincy Jones. And they're like, yeah, I'm doing this record with Michael Jackson. You guys want to... And they were on that record. And I don't know how many people really knew it at the time. Crazy, crazy
the
stuff.
The best studio musicians in L.A. at the time, basically. And that's what the sort of the next of Toto was. How do you come up with the songs? How do you come up with your set list? And how much does it vary from night to night?
It varies a lot. You know, we know hundreds of songs. But for any given tour, I'm usually trying to get us 50 or 60 songs to choose from so we can vary it. Every night, because it makes it more fun for us. And it's more connected with the audience when you're not, as you said earlier, when you're not just going through the motions, you know?
You're playing some cool venues, by the way. I'm looking at the venues, and I'm like, been there, very cool, very cool. You're playing some cool places. House of Blues in Vegas? That's a fun, intimate spot. But then you're also playing places like, you know, the Boulder Theater, which is a really, I don't know if you guys have been there before, just a really cool spot. They're going to be at the Ameris Bank Amphitheater here in Alpharetta, guys, April 26th. Tickets on sale now if you want to go check out the guys here as we talk to the lead singer of, again, Atlanta's own Yacht Rock Review, Nick Nespajani, here in studio with us on Dukes and Bell. We're talking about all this music. Memorizing these lyrics. I mean, is there a screen in front of you? What's going on, man? Talk to me.
Oh, man. You know, some guys, some pros, total pros, will have what looks like a music monitor in front of them. But really, what you don't see from the audience is that it's a teleprompter with all the words. Even the guys that wrote the song sometimes.
Yeah, because you forget.
That's true. Because you forget. I personally don't do that. If we just learned a song, sometimes I'll have a little cheat sheet down there. But also, you know, I can just watermelon through it. Most of the time, people don't know. Yeah, people don't know.
The fun thing is, Nick, you know, everybody, if you're of a certain age and your band is not putting out new music, or, you know, everyone jokes around. The worst thing when you go to see your favorite band, and now we have some new material, and everyone goes up to go get a beer or a bathroom break. That's the beauty of it. Everything it's all killer, no filler. Everyone's going to be glued to the seat because everything, you know, every single song.
Right. I mean, it makes it a challenge for us because you're constantly, like, upping the game of familiarity and sing-along. And just every song we play would be one of the encores for the artists that we're covering. And it's not often you see a show like that.
I got to ask this. I'm just curious. Look, we learned a long time ago, women love musicians.
Women love yacht rock.
What about yacht rock groupies?
So are there groupies? What's going on here with the band, man? Right. I mean, look, I know you guys have families and all this stuff, but it just still doesn't take away from the fact that you're on stage and there are women and they're like, oh, my God. What's going on there?
It can be a little overwhelming.
Really?
It can be a little overwhelming sometimes. This last summer on tour with REO Speedwagon, something about the REO Speedwagon fans, like we would go out in the audience just to, you know, because we were trying to make new fans. We go out there into the lawn of the, because we were playing big places. I got my butt grabbed more times this summer than I have in my entire life. Like all of a sudden it's just okay to just, I mean. A lot.
They
a lot.
Like you.
I get. You know, that's their way of saying they like
you. They like you.
You know, it's okay.
Oh,
it's
that's okay. Great. That's
it is
great.
April 26th, guys. Ameris Bank Amphitheater, as Carl mentioned up there in Alpharetta, which is a great venue, which is a great place. We've seen a bunch of shows up there. So Nick will be fun. Costume changes. I mean, you go through that too on the review?
Sometimes it's more varying from night to night because, you know, we pretty much roll all the way through on the shows. Right. So
you can't leave.
Yeah, no, I can't leave for very long.
And how big a crew, by the way, do you bring on the road? Background vocals, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. We've got 8 people on the road and another 9 crew now. So we've got a big posse that's rolling around with us.
Guys in the band, how long have you known them?
The other singer and co-leader of the band, Peter, and I met in 4th grade in Indiana, where we grew up.
And did you have aspirations at that time when you guys met, like, dude, let's play? I mean, at what age did that happen for you?
We decided that we wanted to start a band when we were in high school, I think freshman, and then we realized we'd need to play band instruments to be in a band. At the time, I was in choir and played oboe.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And he played nothing. And so we were like, oh, we got to learn how to play guitar. So we learned how to play guitar after we decided we would start a band.
Right.
Which I think is kind of a traditional way of doing it.
How did you sell the concept? Just take it back to the opening days. We talked about, you know, my old radio station, we did stuff with you guys and it was always a blast. We talked about seeing it, you know, down at the park over our shoulder. How did you sell the concept to the venues when you were getting things started? Telling like bars and restaurants, hey, here's what we're about.
I mean, they were skeptical, you know, and at that time, this is, you know, 15 years ago, the tribute bands and cover bands weren't doing what we do now. Mm. Like no one was like the biggest tribute band would play maybe someplace the size of Variety Playhouse.
Right.
And now it's a completely different landscape. So I think we were kind of part of that process of saying, hey, this is a different kind of music show, but it's going to sell a lot of vodka.
Right on.
And the venues care about that.
That's right pretty on. Convincing right there.
As far as the outdoor venue, because there's a bunch of outdoor venues here too.
Right.
Does that change anything for you guys as far as the sound? Does it, you know, the vocals? Because the acoustics, right? I mean, all that stuff matters, and people want it to sound like they expected to sound.
it's very different from venue to venue. That's right. Why we're lucky we've got Total Pros running our sound on the road, because if we were just going for it, it would be very difficult.
Because it's funny, most guys, like, when you started off, it was a van. So now do you have an 18-wheeler with a sound system?
We don't travel with our own sound system.
Plug in the PA, okay.
But like this tour that we're leaving tomorrow to go out west for 3 weeks, and we've got tour buses, you know, and trailers and the whole thing.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Does your wife treat you like a rock star?
You know, she's phenomenal to me. She does treat me like a rock star.
Nice.
Completely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that regard, man. You know, but we got married right when this was kind of starting.
Right.
So
did she think you were crazy, by the way? Or was she all on board at the time?
I thought she was crazy because I was like, you're going to marry a dude who's like starting law school and in this fledgling soft rock band? And she went for it. I was like, all right.
I guess the bigger question is, did her parents buy in?
See, my parents are, my dad was a musician and a teacher. My mom was a piano teacher and a ballerina. And so when I started law school, my parents were like, what are you doing? It was the opposite. They were like, you're a musician. And so they've been very happy with this result. My mother-in-law, traditional Southern lady, I will always give her the most props because she, from the very beginning, bought in with what I was doing and was like, I'm behind you. Like, she was not giving me the third degree about being in a band and all this stuff that my kid wants to date a guy or a girl in a band, I'm going to be like, you know, she did not give that to me. Yeah. So mad props to her.
I believe in you, baby.
She believed in me from the start.
That's what it takes. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're coming back. You want to hear from Nick? You want to hear from some of his skills, his skill set?
He brought his guitar.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. And again, they're going on tour. He said it. They're leaving tomorrow, but they're coming to the A in April 26th. I think it's two shows, if I believe.
That one's one show.
One show. Saturday night.
Amaris, Saturday night, big spot.
April 26th.
And in the retro feel of Yacht Rock, he's rocking the Pac-Man logo.
He is.
Of the Hawks.
That's right.
All right, we're coming back.